Herbert Hoover at the International Conference of Christian Endeavor Societies, originally scheduled for this period, will be heard at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Saving Time, immediately following the program we are about to present. The Columbia Workshop. Just 3 years ago this month, the signal you are hearing now, which means testing in Morse code, heralded a new type of experimental radio program inaugurated by the Columbia Broadcasting System. Of the 150 experimental broadcasts produced by the workshop, some have been more successful than others, but all have been presented with a sincere desire to contribute something to the technique of writing and producing radio drama as a whole, and thereby making it more enjoyable to the listener. In response to your generous reception of the workshop's efforts, CBS offers a festival series of workshop plays. 8 will be revivals of programs which met with greatest public favor. 5 will be new plays which have been especially commissioned for this series from some of the great writers of our time. This evening, Irving Reese, the workshop's original director, who produced the first 75 plays and demonstration broadcasts, revives his own dramatization of an early workshop program based on Du Bois Hayward's famous short story, The Half-Pint Flask. The director and cast are assembled in Columbia's Hollywood studios, and we now present...
Let my people go.
The Half-Pint Flask.
So hard they could not stand.
Let my people go.
Night on a palmetto-fringed island off the coast of the Carolinas. In a dimly lit hunting lodge, two men sit before a fire. One holds a book in his hand.
He looks up.
Even the format of this book suggests Henry Barksdale. These practical linen-covered boards, compact, exact paragraphing. Open the volume at random. There he is, smug and pat. There can be no doubt. An undeniable fact. I am prepared to assert. Just listen to him. The primitive American Negro is of a deeply religious nature, demonstrating in his constant attendance at church, his fervent prayers, his hymns, and his frequent mention of the deity, that he has cast aside the last vestiges of his pagan background, and has unreservedly espoused the doctrine of Christianity. Well, that's a true beginning. Let's hear how he ends. I was hampered in my investigations by a sickness contracted on the island that was accompanied by a distressing insomnia, and in its final stages, extreme delirium. But I already had sufficient evidence to hand to enable me to prove that... Ah, there it is, fact upon fact. I'm overwhelmed by the permanence, the unanswerable last word of the printed page. In the face of it, my own impressions of what happened to Barksdale become fantastic. Discredited even in my own mind. My memory goes back to a late afternoon in August, when watching from the shore near the landing on Ediwander Island, Spencer and I saw the General Stonewall Jackson slide past a frieze of palmetto trees up to the tenuous little wharf against the ebb.
I don't see him yet.
Are you sure he's come?
If you knew Henry Barksdale as well as I do, you wouldn't ask that question. He'll be here all right.
Well, I wish you'd stay on a few more days until I get to know him, Spencer. I've lost the fine art of social behavior since I've been isolated here.
Sorry, Courtney. I'd like to stay myself, but I've got to get back to Charleston. A lot of work piled up. Barksdale will be good company once you get to know him.
What made him want to come here anyway?
Oh, he heard somewhere about the Negroes in Ediwander. He's doing a book on primitive religions and thinks he can get some data on superstitions from your island.
Well, how did he come to go to you?
I've known him for many years. When he heard the Nimrod Club at a hunting lodge on the island, he looked me up for the invitation.
What sort of a bird is he? You haven't told me much, you know.
Barksdale's a queer kind of fish. A museum or collector type. He spends all of his time collecting facts. Some he sells, some he keeps to play with. He's got the finest private collection of American glass in the country.
Glass? Well, that's an unusual hobby.
He's an unusual man.
Well, nearly everybody off the boat, and I still don't see any white man.
There he is.
Where?
You see him? At the head of the gangplank.
Oh, yes, yes. Seems to be taking his time. What's he waiting for?
He'll wait till all the natives get off, I guess.
Howdy, boss.
Well, evening, Tom.
Evening, boss.
Hello, Mabel. Have a good time on the mainland?
I sure did, boss. I got myself the prettiest yellow calico dress.
Well, here he comes now, Courtney. The last one off the boat.
Good evening. Good evening, Mr. Spencer.
Hello, Barksdale. This is Mr. Courtney.
How do you do?
How do you do, sir?
I'm afraid I'm a bit late. It seems the tide was unusually strong.
Well, that's quite all right. Always fun watching the Stonewall Jackson pull in.
Yes. Unusual characters.
Is the one bag all you have?
Yes, I travel light.
Well, I'll leave you two and get aboard.
Are you leaving?
Yes, I've got to get back to town. I'll probably drop down again while you're here, though.
Well, goodbye and thank you.
That's quite all right. Hope you have a pleasant stay. Goodbye, Courtney.
Goodbye, old man.
I'll bring that new typewriter in the next trip.
Oh, thanks. Well, if you'll come this way, I've got the carriage here.
Thank you.
This is it. I'll throw in your bag. Watch your step when you get in. All set?
Yes.
Come on, get up.
Very good of Mr. Spencer to give me this opportunity. I'm doing a series of articles on Negroid primates, and I fancy the chances for observation are excellent here.
Negroid primates?
Yes. Why?
Oh, nothing. Only the term seems to strip the human element from them.
Science allows no room for sentiment.
Of course. Isolation from modern life has kept them primitive enough, I guess. This island's only 8 hours removed from a large American city, but they remain untouched by what we choose to call civilization.
I take it you don't have much respect for civilization.
Not much. How long are you going to stay?
I shall commence my studies at once. They're simple souls. I fancy I should have my data within a month.
The island's at its best near sunset.
Hmm. Is it much more of a drive to the club?
No, just a few minutes more. Rather splendid, the view of those palmetto trees against the sky, don't you think?
Hmm. Wait a minute. What's that?
Well, that won't interest you. It's a Negro burying ground.
Stop the cart. I've got to have a look.
Well, you better not tonight. I'll take you to the quarters tomorrow where you can study your live primates. Hey! Whoa. Well, I'll be. Mr. Barksdale, you better come back.
I'll only be a moment.
Well, I wouldn't linger here too long if I were you.
You're not afraid of ghosts, Mr. Courtney?
It's getting dark and we should be getting to the club.
What's the meaning of all these things piled on the graves?
The Negroes here place on the grave mound all the spoons and bottles and crockery which failed to save the deceased in his last illness. It's an old custom.
Hmm, very interesting. I'll have to make a note. What's that?
Here, I wouldn't disturb those things.
Do you know what this is? It's a first issue half-pint flask of the South Carolina State Dispensary. It gives me the only complete set in existence. Not another one in America.
Well, you better put it back before you drop it. Your hands are shaking pretty badly.
I can see, my friend, that you fail to understand the importance of this find. Come, we'll go now.
Not so fast. You can't carry that away. We leave graveyards alone here.
Mr. Courtney, I resent any suggestion from you as to my behavior here or anywhere.
Barksdale, you're not leaving this burying ground with that flask.
Mr. Courtney, I've been searching for this flask for 10 years. If you can find the proper person to whom payment should be made, I'll give a good price. In the meantime, I intend to keep it, in spite of any silly superstition.
The field workers. Quick, we've got to get out of here.
But, Mr. Courtney,
there's no time to explain now. Get into the carriage, Mr. Barksdale. Come on, get up.
Evening, boss.
Evening, Joe.
Evening, boss.
Oh, Grace, Robert. I hope they didn't see us in that burying ground.
Unless you have a better explanation than the childish ones you have offered, Mr. Courtney, let's not say any more about it.
Tell Barksdale why I was afraid. In the cold light of reason, I couldn't even explain it to myself. I knew the field workers couldn't possibly have seen him take the flask. And yet, as they passed, I could sense that they knew. The conjure meeting started in the village that night. But nothing else changed.
Mr. Courtney.
Oh, good evening. How's the work progressing?
Splendidly. I believe I'll be finished ahead of schedule.
That's fine. Everything else all right?
Yes. I haven't been sleeping very well, though. Touch of insomnia and that infernal drumming. It's been going every night since I arrived. Is it a custom?
No. It's never happened before.
What do you think it is?
Conjure meetings in the village.
Conjure meetings? Well, that sounds interesting. Do you think we could go down and have a look in?
It wouldn't be very wise.
A simple folk. I rather envy them, starting out from zero, as it were, with everything to learn from our amazing civilization.
Zero? They had created a Congo art before our ancestors drugged and robbed the first Indian.
But a religion of senseless terror and superstition. They believed in a god who created people only to turn them adrift, to be preyed upon by evil spirits conjured up by their enemies. We've taught them better.
I'm not so sure that the old rites and superstitions have disappeared.
Really?
No. The cook seems to get along very well without a prayer book. But when she goes home at night, she sticks a sulfur match in her hair as a charm against plat eye.
Tell me, what is plat eye?
A spirit which takes some form which were particularly apt to lure its victim away. It lures him into the jungle and, stealing his wits away, leaves him to die alone.
What amusing rot. I almost fancy you believe it.
Well, of course I don't.
You don't sound very convincing.
Well, there are some things, Mr. Barksdale.
However, I'm not doing religion, so that's out of my province. But it is amusing, and I'll make a note of it. Plat eye, did you say?
Yes, plat eye.
And do you think they'll be able to conjure him up successfully, as they've been trying to do all week?
Well, I don't know about that. But it may interest you to know that not a single one of the Negroes came to work this morning.
Really? Oh, yes, I recall now. I looked for the cook, and she wasn't there. What do you think is wrong?
Barksdale, you know very well what's wrong.
No. Really? Perhaps you'll tell me.
I want you to return that flask.
So that's it. You're trying to fight me into returning that flask.
I'm trying to advise you what's best for both of us.
I've been told you dabbled in imaginative fiction, but I didn't think the isolation of this island had done so much to your powers of reasoning. It's rather ridiculous. Good night, Mr. Corbett. Did you hear a woman calling from the woods?
No, I've been asleep.
What time is it?
Well, it's 4:00. What's wrong?
Listen. It's just the chanting, I suppose. I'm sorry I woke you. I'll leave this door open now if you don't mind. Perhaps it might be cooler. I must have dreamed it. I haven't been sleeping so well. Haven't been able to shut my eyes at all. It's as if a sort of something insomnia, of course, and that infernal chant. Yes, of course.
Of course.
Well, good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Mr. Barksdale.
Oh, Spencer. So you've returned.
Yes. Courtney wrote me you were ill. I brought you some medicine. What's wrong?
Oh, a touch of swamp fever, I believe. Livingston complained of it, if you remember. And so did Stanley.
Perhaps you'd better come back to the mainland.
No. No, my work's not finished. I'll be all right. In a day or so.
You'd better not talk anymore, old man. You'd better just lie quietly. I'll come back and see you before I leave.
Are you staying?
No. I've got to leave in the afternoon boat. I'll be back soon again, though.
Oh, that's good.
Try and sleep now.
Yes, I will.
He looks pretty bad, Courtney.
Can't you get him to go back with you?
No, he wants to finish his work.
His work!
Easy, old boy. You're kind of run down yourself.
Did you feel anything strange when you went near him?
What are you talking about?
Spencer, I've got to... Oh, no. It's nothing. I'm just tired, I guess. Won't you please stay for just tonight, anyway?
I can't, old man. There's a million things to be done right now.
Oh, all right.
Has he been much trouble?
Trouble? No. He imagines he hears some woman calling in the woods sometimes at night.
Woman? Well, that's strange. You'd hardly think he gives them a thought. He doesn't suggest the romantic now, but he was madly in love once. She jilted Barksdale at a house party, with a crowd looking on. I was one of them. He changed after that. Wouldn't have anything he couldn't feel, see, smell, touch. When I met him 5 years later, he'd gone in for facts and glass. Strange the obsession that an imaginative woman can exercise over an unimaginative man. It's quite a story.
Please go on.
Say, it's getting late. I'll have to save it for the next time. You better drive me back now or I'll be missing that boat.
All right. But come back soon. I can't tell you why, but you mustn't leave him here much longer. I couldn't get myself to tell Spencer the whole story. I was afraid he would jeer, too. So he left, and darkness came. But I felt it again that night. The air seemed to be charged with a heavy vibration. It settled on my skin like the crawling of 1,000 insects. A terror came over me, but I tried to convince myself I was being foolish. Only while I was wide awake and driving my brain to its capacity did the agitation cease. At the first drowsiness, it would begin faintly, then swell up and up and up and up, fighting sleep back from my tortured brain. 10 days and nights of it. Terrible for me. Devastating for Barksdale. It wasted him like jungle fever. And then it happened on the 10th night. The conjure meeting could be heard faintly in the distance. They started each day at sunset. It was after midnight. I'd been vainly trying to fall asleep. Courtney.
Yes?
Would you mind getting me a glass of water?
Certainly. Here. How do you feel?
About the same.
I'll take you back in the morning.
No. My work's not done here yet.
I'll be all right. In a day or so. It's just one of those swamp fevers.
But I tell you, you must leave here.
Why?
You're very ill. I have no facilities for taking care of you. I haven't been well myself.
That's not the reason.
Well, what is it?
Isn't that a piece of sulfur you have tied around your neck?
I still insist you're a fool. And you'll die here with your precious facts and your highly geared, civilized mind.
Why don't you leave? Run off. Join the conjure meeting. I don't need you. Well, why don't you go?
Call it tribal loyalty, if you like. Good night.
Will you please leave the door open?
Barksdale. Barksdale, do you hear that? Barksdale! Barksdale, that woman, that blue light in the door.
Hello, Henry.
Celia.
I've come back for you.
Celia.
Come with me now.
Celia. Celia.
Barksdale, don't go.
Celia.
Come with me now, Henry.
Celia! Celia! Wait for me! Barksdale, don't go!
Oh, Spencer.
You think I've got nothing to do but come to this jungle and nurse you in Barksdale?
When did you get here? How? What time is it?
Oh, easy there now. One at a time. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. My God, man, what's wrong with you?
Oh, I've been out in the jungle all night.
What for? What are you talking about?
I'll explain on the way. Barksdale's out there. He's been lost all night. We've got to start looking again. He won't last long in the condition he's in. We've got to go to town and get a search party together. Don't stand there looking at me like that. We've got to go, I tell you. We've got to find him.
Tripped on a twig. I'm afraid we'll have to stop for a rest, though.
Yeah, I'm all in myself.
That storm's gonna break again in any minute. Funny, the village being deserted. Not a soul around. Just the two of us. We're out of luck alone. If night comes on, before we find him...
Oh, I'm afraid it's all up.
We'd better go to the mainland for help.
We can't do it. He's been lost 12 hours now. If we don't find him soon, he...
All right. Let's rest just a few minutes.
Yeah, it's getting darker. Maybe those lightning flashes will help us. Spencer, who is Celia?
Celia? Did Barksdale tell you about her?
Well, no, not exactly.
She's the girl I told you about who jilted Barksdale.
Oh.
She's living in Europe now, married, children. He was madly in love with her. I believe if she called him today, he'd go. She was very beautiful.
Yes, I know. Very tall, blonde, with fluffy hair shining like a halo. Odd way of standing, too, with her head turned to one side. Jasmine perfume. Heavy, almost drugged.
Why, you know her. You've seen her.
He came for Barksdale last night. I saw her as plain as I see you.
She's married, living in Europe. You're mad.
Spencer, you've heard the Negroes here talk of Plat Eye, haven't you?
Yes, but what are you driving at?
I couldn't get myself to tell you last time for fear you'd laugh. Barksdale got in wrong down here. Stole a flask from a graveyard. Hell's been turned loose ever since. Conjure meetings every night. Oh, I know what it meant now.
But Celia, how could they know about her?
They didn't, but Barksdale knew. They only had to break him down and let his old obsession call her up to lead him out into the jungle to die and to empty the house so they could search for the flask.
It's fantastic. I believe you.
Well, thank God you see it. Now you know why we've got to find him so soon.
Come on, let's go.
Barksdale! found him.
Well, you're beginning to look like your old self again, Courtney.
Well, I only needed a couple of days of rest. I'm glad you came back. How's Barksdale?
He's in the hospital on the mainland. They say he'll be good as new in a couple of weeks.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it's beautiful here in the morning. I think a week or two here is going to do me some good.
Oh.
What are you stopping here at the graveyard for?
Just a matter of curiosity. Watch the road a moment. I expect all the field Negroes will be back to work this morning.
Courtney, quick. Get up, get up. Come on.
Good morning, boss.
Hello, George.
Hello,
Grace. How are you, Robert? Hello.
Why did you stop at the graveyard?
Can you guess?
Was the half-pint flask there?
Yes. The cavity had filled with rain. It had flooded out when the bottle had been replaced. The water still glistens on the sand of the grave.
You never know anything went wrong by their behavior.
No, Spencer, you wouldn't. But their deep laughter covers secrets our minds and civilization will never know.
Listening to the first summer festival broadcast of the Columbia Workshop, a revival of DuBose Hayward's The Half Pint Flask, dramatized for radio and directed by Irving Reese in Hollywood by arrangement with Paramount Pictures. Next Thursday at this same time, CBS will revive another workshop favorite, Never Come Monday by Eric Knight. It will be directed, as it was originally, by William N. Robeson in New York. It will be of interest to you to know that most of the plays to be heard during the course of this series will appear in book form on or about the 1st of August. Whittlesey House is the publisher, and the book Columbia Workshop Plays will be available at your local bookstore. In our cast tonight, Henry Barksdale was played by Ted Osborne, Courtney by Cyrus Kendall, Spencer by Edmund MacDonald, Celia by Lorene Tuttle, vocal effects of the field workers by a group from the Los Angeles company of Run Little Chillin'. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.